Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Backyard Labrish. This is your host, Margaret, and I'm thrilled to be back. As some of my listeners might know, I was away last week on a short vacation, and I want to take this opportunity to thank my co-host and all the guests who participated in our show. So welcome, welcome, and I have our co-host on the phone, Donna. I'm going to have her welcome our listeners as well. Donna, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, and hope that you had a really great time. I mean, anytime you can take a little break and get near the water, I think that that's kind of like refreshing. But we had a really great call. We did miss you, however, and we're glad that you're back.
Well, thank you, and I missed you all. And it will take another show to tell you about my little adventure. So for now, we'll call it an adventure. So it's so great to be back, and I want to welcome all my listeners because, as you all know, we're celebrating a special month this month, which is celebrating our history and some of the wonderful history that we're uncovering by way of Dr. Joy Lumsden, who is a resident of Jamaica and has just done some wonderful research that has been documented, and it's so great to have access to all of this cool material. And I now want to also welcome our special guest. And I'm opening up the mic for Sharon. Are you there? Hello? Okay, well, caller on 718-379. Can you identify yourself? Oh, I guess.
Hello.
Hi. Oh, it's you.
Yeah.
My very loyal listener.
That's Sharon.
Sharon's on vacation.
Beg your pardon?
I think that, you know, Sharon left Earl today to go to the event in Jamaica.
Oh, really? I have another caller from 718, and if they're listening to me, and it is Sharon, would you raise your hand by punching 1 on your keyboard? If not, I'll assume that you just want to be a listener, and we welcome you, as well as our listeners in the chat room. I don't know if I'm going to be able to interact with you in the chat room, but I hope you'll be all listening. So, again, welcome to everybody. And I am just so exuberant about all this new information that I have come upon and wanting to share with the rest of the Jamaicans and Jamaicans and all people of culture that are celebrating, especially in light of this new administration and this new shift in world consciousness in terms of people of color. So what I would like, and please, listeners, raise your hands if you want to. I see a raised hands. And caller, I think it's 718-654. I'm going to open up the mic to you so you can let me know. Who am I speaking with?
Good evening, radio listeners. This is Sharon.
Oh, hi, Sharon.
Hi, Donna. Hi, Ms. Marshall.
How are you?
Hi. Very stressed. Very stressed right now.
Oh, okay.
I'm just calling in to say I'll be listening on the computer, but I'm not going to be able to participate because I have a very early flight tomorrow. And, of course, I'm still packing.
I understand. So, okay, well, I'll tune you out, and whenever you want to make a comment or so, just raise your hands again, okay?
Thank you so much.
But I want to thank you for helping to host the show last week and being a very important part of the show.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to getting that opportunity again.
All right.
But have a wonderful show this evening. I'll be listening on the computer while I'm packing.
Very good. And you have a wonderful trip on the island.
Thank you so much.
You know,
What was the name of the event that you're attending again? I was wanting to look that up. I thought that sounded really interesting.
Siwi Sinting.
How do you spell that?
Siwi Sinting. Yeah.
Siwi Sinting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does it have a meaning?
It's our thing.
Okay.
It's our thing.
Right. Well, thanks for that, Sharon.
Yeah,
thanks for clarifying that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Bon voyage.
Thank you.
And enjoy some of it for all of us.
All right. See you in 2 weeks.
Okay. Okay. And all the listeners that would like to be in Jamaica at this time.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I'll send you back some sunshine.
All right, and your call numbers are 654, right?
I'm
missing you now.
A little tip, make sure you take a sweater. It's been cool there.
That's what I heard. It's cool, but it's still going to be warmer than here.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much. Take care.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Okay, now I see we have our board is lighting up, and I'd like to tell our callers that if you would like to participate, just raise your hands by hitting the number one on your keyboard, on your phone. So back to what I was saying about the excitement and the great energy of celebrating this month. And for some of our listeners, as I think you know from last week's show, that we're celebrating Jamaica's history as well at in coordination with Black History Month here in the United States. And both last week and this week, I am talking about some research that has been done and continues to be done by Dr. Joy Lumsden, who resides in Jamaica. She's English, but moved to Jamaica, I think, many years ago. She married a Jamaican, and she resides there now, and it continues to do research on Jamaica's history. And I was very, very surprised to know that Jamaicans, if you listen to our last show, you would have heard that Jamaicans have been graduating from Howard from 1890. But this particular piece really caught my interest in lieu of what is happening in the White House now, because I am going to read you an article that was published in the Daily Gleaner, and most Jamaicans will know that is our main newspaper and has been, you know, ever since. But this particular article was published June 12, 1915. And it's titled Success of Jamaicans. News just to hand from Washington announces the brilliant success scored by certain Jamaican students of the graduating classes of Howard University. The annual function in connection with which degrees were conferred came off on Wednesday, 2nd instant. Among those on whom were confirmed the degrees of Doctor of Dental Surgery were Theodore Hansen, Messrs. E. A. Nicholson, A. J. Forrester, and G. A. Cole. Also, R. A. MacTaggart of Grand Cayman. Now, I'm calling those names out because, Leigh, as I'm sure you'll agree with me, a lot of those names we know.
Yeah.
As popular names in Jamaica.
Yeah,
and
well,
I don't know if those people know how far back they are. They perhaps know their ancestors go in terms of being travelers and being educated.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
I thought that, you know, and especially the younger ones, a lot of the younger people are not really into their family history yet.
True.
But I am sure that they will be as they get older, just as I find myself being as I get older. But so that was one article. But listen to this one. This one was June 27th, 1904. The graduates of Howard University, Washington, recently visited the White House, where they were received by President Theodore Roosevelt. Addressing them, the president alluded to the number of West Indians at Howard and the progress they had made in their studies. He hoped that more West Indians would enter the university next year. At the present time, there were 13 or 14 Jamaicans at Howard University. Isn't that something?
Oh,
now,
yeah. Well, you know, I mean, and the thing about it is, I mean, I know that, you know, I mean, that was 50 years between 1890 and 1940. 50 years, I mean, that.
1904.
Was it 1904?
Uh-huh, 1904 they were received in the White House.
Oh, 1904 they were received in the White House. But through that time period, they're going from 1890 to 1940, they're actually coming in to Howard University during that time period.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And nowhere in the history I learned in Jamaica did I ever know that. Did you, Leigh? While we were in school.
Well, from this standpoint, I mean, the school that I went to, we didn't get the same scholarship as the rest of Jamaica, let's put it that way. And the schools that were high on the list for Jamaica-sponsored schools, if you distinguish it from the school that I went, which was St. George's College, which was run by the Jesuits from the New England province, we would get scholarships to Harvard, Yale, Princeton, MIT, whereas you had the Jamaican scholars would, you know, like when I said Jamaican scholars, people that went to Jamaica College, Happy Grove and those places, they would go to Howard, McGill University in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And lots more going to the UK.
All
so,
right.
You know.
What year
so,
are we talking about now, though? What year?
No. I mean, as I can't categorize it as far back as
1904.
What you cited, but what you just read, I think. See, when I go to Jamaica, the first thing I read is "This Day in Our Past." In the Gleaner.
Right.
And I think I read something to that effect some time ago.
Right.
You know,
it's recent. This is what I'm saying. When going to school, we did not get this information.
Probably not.
I mean, well, perhaps. I would like, if there are any Jamaicans out there that got this information when they were in school, I'm talking about.
It's possible that they did have classes in Jamaica in history for different time periods.
Mm-hmm.
And this more than likely would be covered because it would be an incentive to current students, no matter how current, to go to these universities.
Right, but guess what?
What?
Prior to Dr. Lumsden putting all of this together,
mm-hmm.
It was never documented in any chronological form.
Well,
it wasn't.
That is entirely possible. But I go back to just the study of Jamaican history, which could have, especially in the field of when they cited when you're talking about education.
Mm-hmm.
I hear a feedback there.
I'm getting an echo.
Yeah. I just turned on my computer, but it's not on your blog. But anyway, what you say is true, is that it wasn't a highlight of the history syllabus to show going as far back as that date.
Okay. Now, that brings me to some information that Sharon actually sent me today, which was titled Blacks in the White House.
Mm.
And this is actually talking about the first child born at the White House was the grandson of President Thomas Jefferson. And the second child born there was his property, the African-American baby of Jefferson's two slaves that were actually born in the White House. Then it went on to talk about the Africans who were owned by some of the presidents that owned slaves at the time and the work they did in helping to build the White House. This is, I am assuming, some documentation that was put together recently, because it also talked about, Baraka being there now. But nowhere in this article I see any mention of blacks being received as guests in the White House.
You probably wouldn't.
That's what I'm saying. That stood out to me, that even though this documentation right now that I received today is sort of current, it doesn't mention anything about black people. And these were black Jamaicans, because she has pictures of them on her website.
Right.
That any blacks were guests and received by Roosevelt.
No, you probably wouldn't see.
So where is that documented?
No, you're not going to see a lot of these things in any historical perspective.
Because again, you know what? She's pulling this information together.
Yes.
And you have to figure out who put the other information, who is writing the other information, and what? Why would it be beneficial for them to put anything of the other information?
Information like that would be suppressed in earlier days.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I mean, it goes to reason that, anything that was going to be positive, particularly got to remember, when you're putting together certain documents, it depends on who's reading it and where.
Yeah.
You know, when you're moving towards, all of the southern states, nothing positive could be written from a black perspective, or else it would give people hope. And so, and then the other media that, even from the northern side, dare to, you know, speak of certain things again because it was not beneficial for them to do so. And so that's the reason why it's so interesting when you say history, because in reality right now you got her story. Her story is that she's pulling together information that we wouldn't have known about were not for the research that she's done with some documents that are so fragile that, you know, some of you can't even touch or photograph.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I am just wondering if there's any effort being on the parts of the educators in Jamaica to include some of these historic documents, because I think that it's important. I think it's important because, to me, I can now see, you know, I wouldn't want to say what created the difference, but the difference, because Sharon mentioned something when she was our guest on our show, that I was led to her by her article that was that she was celebrating the best of both worlds, being born in Britain, and so she is British, but she was born of Jamaican parents, and she went back to Jamaica and uncovered and lived in Jamaica for 3 years, so she became rooted in her culture, the culture of her ancestors, and she's able to celebrate them both.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my point is that whereas Sharon grew up in whatever part of England she was not accustomed to having black teachers and seeing black people in various positions of power. When we were the people being brought up in Jamaica in those days, we saw different people of different color being, including black people, being in positions of power. Correct, Leigh?
Yeah.
And so it was not strange to us. And so did my mother when she was growing up, and possibly her mother when she was growing up. So it's a whole generation of a different psyche.
It gets a little dicey when you go too far back, because don't forget, when you hit the 1800s, 1840s,
mm-hmm.
I mean, slavery was still going on.
Yeah,
and
1840. But my grandmother was not born then.
No, I'm saying I'm just making the point that if you go back too far, you know,
right,
that you're now in the era, the gray area where slavery was still in effect. And
no,
Britain,
what year was it abolished in Jamaica?
Well, Britain abolished slavery in the 40s.
1840.
Before the U.S. did, you know? The U.S. was 1860, I think.
Right. And we had, according to Dr. Lumsden's research, we
mm-hmm.
had people graduating from Howard's, let's say, 45 years after that.
Yeah, reasonable. That's reasonable.
Right.
Yeah, because if, 50 years after that, now we had, in this country, 1954 is when things opened up in academia.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
However, it wasn't. It was totally different here. Is my point, and also
well,
in London.
Yeah, well, this
also
is well. This is true because the British didn't hang on to vestiges of slavery after they abolished it. This
and,
country
you
did.
Know what, And you got to remember when the Civil War was going on.
Yes,
it was actually Britain that said, "Hey, if you all come and fight with us, after you know the slaves, if you come fight with us, we'll give you freedom."
Right.
So ultimately, not only did a lot of the blacks fight with them, but they also went on back to London with them,
mm-hmm.
you know, back to Europe. So. You have to, you know, that it was, you know, it's kind of interesting how you intermingle the whole process. I have friends that I remember that were from the Middle East, and they would say that
some of their family members had come here early on during the time of, you know, they had heard that, you know, they'd come here during the time of slavery and all the oppressions that were happening, but they were going to school here without any problems, whereas we were having our issues here in the United States where blacks were not, you know, allowed to even be educated.
And that's why they had a war. it's a complicated history for, and still is for this country.
Yeah.
And there, things weren't all that rosy, even going back to after the world, the First World War, in Jamaica, things weren't all that rosy for black people in Jamaica, you know. Believe it or not.
What year are we talking now?
1914. But in those days, all the civil service were manned by white people in Jamaica.
Really?
Yeah. And of course, by the Second World War, things started to change a little. And the way the labor situation emerged after Bustamante's, which was what year was that? In the early 40s, right? When he organized the trade unions.
Mm-hmm.
That had a ripple effect because now the government represented something different, and they started to hire blacks, quote unquote blacks, in the banks, which was unheard of before.
Right.
You know? So I mean, I'm just sort of trying to chronologize according to what you're bringing up with Lumsden's research, you know. But would you believe I have some books that I brought up with me, that school books, regular school books, and the books took a hit in that hurricane in 1951. Almost washed away the thing, and I virtually cried because I had history books there, and I would have been able to go back and verify or see how far back it goes, what period it is, to help us along. But I doubt that I would be that successful now to find any of that stuff.
So we have to give a plug to the latest technology that we're really using right now. And I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Blog Talk Radio, Backyard Labrish, and we're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock to celebrate the rich hills history of the Jamaican culture. And we are inviting our listeners to be part of our history. We want to live, as Donna says, we want to leave a footprint, or I call it a living history, with our stories and our comments, and talk about things that happened when we were growing up and how it has affected or has influenced our current life. And I know that I always say how very happy I was to be born in Jamaica. I am now an American citizen and have been for a very long time, and this is my home. And I love my country. And if I suppose I was of the right age, I would be willing to serve my country. But I also love my roots, and now that I've been retired, I am taking this opportunity to celebrate my roots and invite people with similar passion to join me to talk about their experiences as they were growing up on the island. And for the listeners that might be online, or I have a couple of people on the keyboard, on the switchboard that haven't raised their hands, I want to thank them for listening and to remind them that if they want to interact and participate with a comment, just hit one on your phone so that I can know, and I will be more than happy to have you join us in this conversation, because if you're from Jamaica, you know what a labrish is. We don't have a special platform. It's not a formal type of presentation. We're just labrishing in the backyard and talking about events that we're passionate about. And this month, we're celebrating Jamaica's history. And tonight, we are highlighting some events that were uncovered by Dr. Joy Lumsden, who's a historian doing some marvelous work on reconstructing events and bringing them to life of things that happened to Jamaicans and about Jamaica. There are several things that she did lay that I will be talking about, history about Rockfort Gardens and different parts of the islands that I think will be very relevant to some of our listeners. And that's what we do in the backyard every week.
All right, before we leave the time period of, the slave
1840 to 19, her research.
All right, now listen to this. This day in our past, the following events took place on January 28th in the, this is when I was in Jamaica, January some, so forget about the date, but look at the year, 1832.
Mm-hmm.
Maroons join British soldiers to track down slaves in western Jamaica who had been rebelling since December.
And so why would the Maroons do that?
Because they were the British were paying the Maroons to find slaves for the slave owners.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This was before emancipation. So, and in Hanover, Maroons captured 46 slaves and killed 8.
What?
Yeah.
Now, for the listeners who don't know what the Maroons are, would you explain, Leigh? Because we have listeners that are not necessarily Jamaican.
The Maroons were indigenous Indians, or people like, in America, they had the, what we call the, what do you call them? The Native Americans, right? That's what we call Indians.
Right.
A euphemistic way of calling the ones who were here first.
Native Americans, yeah.
Yeah, so in Jamaica, it would be the Maroons who were indigenous to the country, Jamaica.
Okay. Where is that place? Excuse me?
They look differently? I mean, did they look like our Native Americans, or?
No, but they were, different. Indians come in different forms and shapes.
Right.
And these Maroons were just a tribe called Maroons, as you would in South America call Incas, Indians, indigenous Indians in those areas, whereas in Jamaica we're calling these people who were there first. When the British came, when Columbus and those guys came over, that's who he saw first.
But the Spanish came first, didn't they, or did they?
The Spanish actually, Columbus, of course. Columbus was commissioned by the Queen of Spain.
Spain, right. So we were Spanish before we became British.
Became British, yeah.
Okay, I got you.
Okay.
All right. Now, I wanted to mention that, from those days that a lot of the students who came here to the United States, most of them were going into medicine. And you know, I Duhaney, Thomas, Meikle, you know, Campbell,
yeah.
All of those were either DDS or MDs.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Because, Donna, Jamaica is a small place, and, you know, we know the names from way back.
And don't forget,
know?
Howard was primarily a medical school in the early days, right?
Yes,
right.
But I read an article from one of the students where it was very hard for the Jamaicans to get in. That,
of course,
that
the standards were
this.
So high, yes.
Yes, and they had to, even though they passed the Cambridge exam, junior and senior,
mm-hmm.
the American, they thought that they were not qualified. And they had to, like, sit for some special examination, which, of course, they excelled in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they were apparently prepared. So there was a letter that I read on the, I think it was the one before, Donna, I can't remember, where Dr. Lumsdead had found, gotten this letter somehow, that once, student apparently was writing to somebody at home or another student about how difficult it was to get into the medical discipline, you know?
Yeah.
So it's very interesting because a lot of these names we know, not necessarily as doctors, but the names, you know, Jackson, Wright, McCullough, Hussey, Hunt, Plummer, Hilbert, Samuel, Scott, all of those. You know, are very popular Jamaican names.
Mm-hmm.
So it's as I go through this, you know, you can say, and a lot of these people that, what is a BD? I see here Williams that graduated with a BD. I'm sorry, BD on one is BS. I don't know if it's a typo.
Well,
but
Bachelor of Science is BS, but BD?
Mm-hmm.
Or, I don't know what that is.
Right, I'm looking at the paper. But I was making a comment to on when we got to at the last time how the reporters for the newspaper wrote. You know, they like wrote in old English. You know, putting the words in a different format.
Right.
Yeah. That. You know, the language has evolved as we go along, even in England. I was listening to a program recently, as I do every day, on the BBC, and they were making comments about the evolution of the English language.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's going to change from time to time.
Well, I must use this opportunity to say it will perhaps change the most in Jamaica because of what is happening.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and I am, you know, I am all for, you know, being, what should I say, you know, proud of your culture and all of that. But I'm wondering, are they all going to stay there when they start communicating in this new language for everything? And
well,
does the rest of the world going to have a dictionary so we can all look in it to figure out what's going on?
They're doing that right now. You know, they're not going to start. They're doing that right now.
They have a special dictionary?
Expressing themselves in what colloquialisms, if you don't want to say patois.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I probably mentioned once before that I was on a jury foreman on a jury case, and the lawyer.
In Jamaica?
No, here in New York, and the lawyer that represented the accused was a Jamaican with dreadlocks, but very smart.
Mm-hmm.
Problem was that nobody on the jury, the 12 people couldn't, the 11 people could not understand what he was saying.
Mm.
And this was probably by design anyway. So who you think had to be interpreting? They decided that I should interpret what the guy was saying.
Mm. Well, did you consider that a benefit to the accused? Was it beneficial?
Well, beneficial in the sense that if the jury doesn't understand what is going on, how can they judge?
Oh, I got you.
That's kind of interesting. I mean, I kind of, digressing a minute, but I remember during the OJ trial that they had here, and they had someone that was doing interpreting what one of the witnesses was saying, and one of the things that happened was after they did it, the commentary from the news was that their statements were going to end up being stricken or because of the fact that the interpretation was incorrect, that there was that there's a certain, you know, you can change one word in what's being said, and it totally changes the response that the person would make.
Yeah.
And that's the other reason why, even with legal situations, they always say that they have to be able to speak to that individual, or that individual has to be able to understand the language.
Or refer to the court recorder and see what was said.
Right.
Which becomes a problem.
Well, you know, one of the things I wanted to just say, you know, it's kind of, you know, when you really think about it, because of the fact that Jamaicans have gone all over, they travel all over, you know, I don't know if you would classify them generally as Jamaicans at some point. I mean, give you an idea, you know, I wouldn't have known were it not for you putting it on the site, which, you know, hopefully everyone will go to backyardlabbers.com and they will, you know, look around there and see. But I would have known that Alicia Keys, you know, her family was from Jamaica, or, you know, Notorious B.I.G., they got the new movie out with Notorious B.I.G. in there, and Will.i.am, I don't know if everybody remembers Will.i.am, but he made that phenomenal video for Barack Obama, and he's been, he was the one that they actually used that new technology where they beamed him in like Star Trek, you know, beam me
on CNN. CNN.
You know, listen to this little experience. I was, you know, usually I take my, I don't see everybody that I know in Jamaica when I go, except if we have a get together and invite, or we take people to dinner. So this one time I went to lunch with a bunch of my friends, and a woman came over to meet somebody at my table. And this woman was the mother of a girl. I can't tell you her name now, but she was on. She was a star on one of the soap operas that was running currently. You know, at the time, I don't know. I don't watch soap operas, so I don't know if she's still on or what. But she was very popular, and everybody knew her. She. I mean, obviously she was Jamaican. Her mother was Jamaican, but it's possible she was born here. I don't know.
Wow. Yes, there are a lot of Jamaicans that are, you know, doing very well in the arts and in different things.
But you had like Colin Powell that you had up there a couple of months ago. But then, you know someone that would really surprise a lot of people, I think, is Louis Farrakhan. The leader of the Nation of Islam, I was told, is actually from Jamaica.
Well, he claimed that. I don't know if it ever was proven.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, I don't see him on the that site that I'm getting these names from is listing Jamaican.
Right. That's why I said
that,
it that way.
Yes. I don't know of that history. I have not heard that. I have not heard.
But it could very well be true because
He said that
Marcus Garvey.
They said that his mother immigrated from St. Kitts and Nevis. And the 1920s, his father, Percival Clark, was a Jamaican Catholic.
All right. That's
the
difference there. Yeah. Percival Clark is a good name for Jamaica.
Right. Same Kitts and Jamaica combination. Well, one thing I will tell you that is very obvious is that Jamaicans are very passionate about whatever they do.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they do it with a lot of passion. And, I mean, even Jamaica is not the largest island, is it, Lee?
Well, it was known to be the largest West Indian island.
In terms of population or size?
Not size, probably population.
Well, I was thinking size.
Because Trinidad would probably beat Jamaica hands down. I mean, mm-hmm. As far as size, you know.
Right.
I wanted to tell you all about this. One other person I thought was pretty interesting was David Paterson. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Yes.
The governor of New York. And I was just like, oh, my goodness, you know, because I was always impressed by him once he became the governor, you know, to be legally blind. But how smart he was. Or is, and just, you know, and then I, you know, looked, and I was like, oh, my goodness, he's from Jamaica, too? I'm like,
He was born here, but his ancestors are Jamaican. He's a Jamaican.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But it goes to show that, especially the older Jamaicans,
mm-hmm.
that migrated anywhere. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Canada, England, all over. Their number one priority has always been the highest education for their children. Always.
Right. Right.
And in the days when I grew up in Jamaica, it was so then, regardless of the economic status of the person, because in Jamaica, where we didn't have color, we had class.
Mm-hmm.
And if the upper class and the middle class and even the under class, the people who really could not afford it as much as the other two classes, their quest would be to do whatever they could to educate their children.
Mm-hmm.
That was always the priority in a Jamaican psyche.
Well, you know, what's kind of interesting when you say that is that they, you know, I read a little bit about him and a couple of things. One being that when they looked at his genealogy, they realized that on his father's side, he had a lot of England and Ireland and Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
And on his mother's side, he was like Eastern European Jewish. And so, you know, it gives you that complete mixture. But one of the things that was kind of interesting from an educational standpoint was that they were saying that because he had contracted some type of ear infection, spread into his optic nerve and all that kind of stuff, and that in New York, they would not guarantee him an education unless they put him in special education. So his family did what most Jamaicans do. They bought a home somewhere else in Long Island, a suburb, so he could attend school with mainstream classes because they were determined for him to get a good education.
That's right. I mean, Jamaicans are known to go after what they want. You know, I think it's like in the psyche. And they will move through, most of them will move through any obstacles put in their way. And they'll look right or left. They're looking at what they want to establish. And I just feel that it has a lot to do with, as, you know, Sharon mentioned, is seeing people that look like you in different positions of power.
Mm-hmm.
That is part of it, too.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, you know, I really think that, and also someone that, well, no, because you can also have people that are just passionate about education and educating you as well, I think. But it does help, I think, when you see someone that is like you that is succeeding and doing well and also a role model for you.
You know, I hate to say it on the air, but it was convenient for government not to educate certain people.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So,
yep.
Right, that's a very basic thing and a huge difference in our approach to
I mean, and I'm telling you, and think about 10 generations of people that it's illegal for you to have an education and how that's going to flow through, you know, to each generation thereafter and how behind those generations. And it was kind of interesting because, you know, I'm going to share with everyone that also, just if you want some additional knowledge, that PBS has a some phenomenal programs, the public broadcast system, as well as if you have Comcast, you can go to Top Picks and you can go to Black History, and there's a slew of various information as well as different entertaining things that are on there, you know, for a person to get more knowledge, particularly on the history of the United States and Black history. But what was interesting is that when slaves were emancipated, a couple of things that happened. One, you know, of course, you got to figure, all of a sudden, I'm going to free you, and I give you nothing. I just say, okay, you're free to go. So you have these people that are just wandering the streets, but people thought that they were just wandering aimlessly when they were wandering to try to find their family, their children, and they didn't know exactly where to go because they didn't have no clue as to where their children or their families have been sold. So they're wandering the roads. They're all on the roads. They're sleeping on the side of the roads, trying to go from place to place to see if they could just find, you know, their children. And the other thing that was kind of interesting was one of the first things that everyone, even the old people, said was, can you teach me how to read and write? Because if I could just learn how to read and write, I think that, you know, it would help me tremendously.
Right.
And so that goes right in line with what you're saying, you know, how important.
Thank you, Donna. We have a raised hand here that I want to recognize, 404-551. I'm opening the mic so you can join the conversation. You're on. Who am I speaking with and where are you calling from?
Hi, Margaret. I'm Charmaine Joan. I'm calling from Atlanta.
Hi, Charmaine Joan. Welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to say I'm enjoying the conversation and want to thank your participants because there were certain things I was not aware of. I didn't know about the current governor of David Patterson, and I didn't know that he had Jamaican roots. And
yes, he's on our website as a Jamaican.
Ah, I didn't know this.
And
I have to go
read about him.
And I don't know if you know that the rapper, the Heavy D, you've heard of him? He's also Jamaican.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
I'm trying to feature them one per month, so we'll be featuring them for years because they're scattered all over the world, and we're just starting in the American ones.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
And whatever they call them, wherever they are born in another part of the world, I have to have Sharon to correct me on this, since she's born in Britain of Jamaican parents, but I am calling her and the rest of the Jamaicans that have children of Jamaican, they're Jabrits. And
I'll
there are several Jabrits.
What she's called.
Beg your pardon?
I'll ask my cousin what she's called.
Right. And the ones that are born in Canada, and the ones that are born in Australia, and the ones that are born all over the world. Because Jamaicans are scattered all over the world, and they are in a lot of countries in accomplished places, you know, places of power and places of recognition. And this is one of the platforms we intend to use to celebrate them, and hoping that this will inspire the young generation that's coming up in Jamaica and of Jamaicans all over the world, because like everything else, we have some of the young ones that are not really celebrating their roots and their history with pride. Some of them are, you know, going in the opposite direction. So we want to reach out to them and let them realize that they have a legacy. They have a legacy. And that's why I brought up, you know, the names that we know lay so very well, that on their own dime was going, traveling from the Jamaica. I can't even imagine what the conditions were at those times. I'm sure there were no planes in 1890 that were taking them across the ocean, right? They came here on ships, I suppose.
Banana boat.
Right, to go to college. And there are pictures of them. I intend to post a lot of this on the website, on our website, but, you know, Dr. Lumsden's website, I do not have the information on that, but it will be posted on Backyard Labrish this coming week.
and
that
I look,
you can just link right to her site to see, get more information. And for the rest of the month, I'm sorry.
I look forward to doing that because this is very, I wish more of our youth could listen to it, even to the archive, and realize that, as the gentleman stated, that those of us who were a chocolate hue were not allowed to be educated, and so therefore education is such a privilege, and mm-hmm. is something that now, you know, it's taken very lightly,
mm-hmm.
You know, as if it's a right, and if one would only understand that it, at one time it was a privilege to even be educated,
mm-hmm.
In your own country. So, and all that information, I just wanted to say that I've really found this conversation fascinating. I was have been listening to it for a while, just listening, and then I said I must compliment you all, and I thank you for the information.
We appreciate your input. Very nicely put.
And I really do. Thank you for calling in, and we ask you to spread the word to your friends, and as I say, ask them to go to www.backyardlabrish.com and join us every Wednesday night here, because for the rest of the month, we'll be celebrating history. So thank you a lot, Shaman Joan,
and
I'm going to mute you
just
now.
Just a quick bulletin here for the cricket fans. I'm sure you're aware by this time that the West Indies won the first test at Sabina Park in Jamaica this past week.
Hallelujah!
Yep.
Great!
They
so we'll all congratulate the West Indies. You know, we're passionate
England.
About our cricket. We had a cricket fan on the other day, Beth. She hasn't been with us for a while. But I see 770941 would like to say something. So I am 941. Where did you go? Did you hang up? Well, apparently so. But actually, this 9417570. Oh, that's Donna. Anyway, I wanted to encourage our other listeners. If you want to join the Labrish, just hit 1 on your telephone. And I'll be happy to, we're just sort of going over our little Labrish now. And I'd like to, at the same time, welcome our listeners online and ask you to tune in each week and spread the word, because we're trying to build a platform here for expression of positive things. You know, as I said, Leigh, we're not trying to be political or saying what's right and what's wrong. We just want to celebrate the rich history and document some of the things that I think have made us who we are today, because I think this can be helpful to the people, you know, who are ready for it. Because there seem to be, in my estimation, a sort of breakdown of the educational system in Jamaica for whatever reason. And there is not, I think, as much importance being put on it now. You know, even I read something in the newspaper where some of the parents of especially younger children that need to have lunch money or shoes or so to go to school, that some of the mothers now think it's more important to do their nails or their hair than provide that money. And I know that even with the poor people in Jamaica in my day, that would not happen. So it's a complete shift in the consciousness is what I would say, where the education of their children would, you know, take when they can. And now I think it is supposed to be easier because some of our listeners know, in the old days, secondary education was not free. And you had to be able to afford to send your child to school, not to public schools because they were always free, I think, weren't they?
Right.
But to go the next level, you would have to be able to pay the school fee. Well, now that is free. And if you don't start the children early with getting the basic, then they won't be ready for the secondary education, as we used to refer to it as. So I would just, you know, pray that the population now, or the segment of the population that is in that mindset, will have a change in their consciousness and know that our history of being passionate about education goes back from 18-something. So we don't need to tear it up now. We need to embrace it, celebrate it, and add to it. And there are several organizations that we have featured on the show at various times that are giving back to Jamaica and are, you know, supporting causes there that are educational. And I also want to tell our listeners that if you're involved with an organization that's doing something to help your culture, we will be more than happy to help you support it by having you as a guest on the show. So just get in touch with us at Backyard Labrish and send us a note and let us know. And we will be happy. And if anyone would like to get in touch with me personally, you can communicate with me at Backyard Labrish, and if you, Labrish is spelled Labrish, at yahoo.com. And I will get that email personally, and we'll be more than happy to, you know, discuss it with you, because this is Blog Talk Radio is very popular. They have various popular shows. Anything that we promote gets on the internet, and if you Google your organization or your name after, you will find it. And you can use it as a medium to support whatever you are doing to help a cause. And we are all for that. We are for supporting any organization or individual that is giving back to the community. So please get in touch with us. Now, we talked about the past and our ancestors and how proud we are that there were really passionate about education from in the 18-something, going all in different parts of the world to gain knowledge and bringing it back to Jamaica to educate. I think our first show we talked about some man from Happy Grove who was a teacher there, then went to Howard, got his degree, could have gotten a job anywhere, was even offered a job in the United States, but went back to Happy Grove and spent the rest of his life there. And I thought that was so commendable. And I think that you had a caller who identified with Happy Grove last week. Did you, Dara?
Yep.
And
yes,
who? What did they say?
Well, you know, they. I think they went to Happy Grove.
And knew of this person.
Yeah.
Oh, that was wonderful. That was wonderful.
And I also know, I'll probably talk about this at another opportunity, somebody who was headmaster there.
Oh, great. Yeah. Great, great, great. I am moving away from my switchboard for a while because my phone is about to die.
Mine
oh, you're the one that's clicking.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, you better listen online.
All right, I'll jump off. I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, we appreciate you, faithful fan.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for calling in. And
all right, good night, Donna.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay,
and I'd
great.
Like to invite our callers that are still with us, that if you want to interact with us on this Labrish, please just hit one on your keyboard and we'll be happy to plug you in. But I did want to share something that I found online. As I mentioned, we talked about our... I'm sorry? Okay. I'm going to mute this. We're getting some background here, so I'm going to, no, I don't have one line open. Anyway, Donna, is that you? Are you there?
Can you hear me? Yeah,
yes,
I'm here.
I can. All right, I wanted to share with any of our listeners that might have students here about an opportunity that I noticed on the Jamaica.com website. And it's Grace Kennedy Limited presents an exciting opportunity for you to experience life in Jamaica up close and personal. And this is currently going on. If either of your parents or grandparents is originally from Jamaica, you could qualify to gain work experience in a diverse range of industries while experiencing the warmth and hospitality for which Jamaicans are famous. The Grace Kennedy Jamaica Birthright Program is a cultural and professional internship geared at highlighting all aspects of Jamaican life while furthering the career goals of the participants. It is designed to give the successful candidate a well-rounded Jamaican experience. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And actually, on that website, there is a how to apply. So this is currently going on where if you know of a student that is of Jamaican parents or grandparents that would like to have a internship with Grace Kennedy, you can go to find this information on Jamaica.com. And it gives what they're looking for, you know, in the candidate. So I just thought that was a great opportunity as I read about it because, you know, you have some children of Jamaican parents that, as I say, scattered all over the world that may have some interest in getting up and personal with their culture. So I thought I would make that available. I'm also going to put that link on the website so that you can go to backyardlavish.com and access it. But I thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah.
And again, my caller on 718-798, welcome, and let us know if you want to join the Lavish. Also, 718-798, and the first two numbers are 39. So I noticed those are both New York numbers, I guess. And 79852, you know who you are. I'm not calling out the whole number. But welcome to the show, and to all our other callers that are silent, we are happy to have you with us and hope that you'll join us each week and that you'll be comfortable enough to join the Lavish. But we are here every Wednesday between 8 and 9:30. We only have a couple more minutes left on our show now. And I just want to thank everybody for supporting us. And we're open to ideas. I want you to visit our website, give us your comments, and also welcome to our people online. And pretty soon we'll be able to chat with you when I get more techie. And for those of you who don't know, I call myself a senior because I am a real senior. And I am using this platform to encourage my fellow seniors to join me in leaving a footprint for their grandchildren or great-grandchildren that someday when we know that the future generation is always going to be online because my six-year-old is online already. And I just want him to be able to learn something about the culture I grew up in because Jamaica, like the rest of the world, is changing and things that we used to do as kids are not being done now in Jamaica. And it would be good for them to know things that happened when I was, you know, there in school. So that's what we're trying to do with Backyard Labbers. So we do wish and encourage more people to bring their stories to us, both on the radio or on the website. And if any of our listeners know a senior, especially a senior, but just about anybody, with an interesting, uplifting story or a story of things that happened during their period in a special part of the island, we would love to have them as a guest on our show. So please let us know. And Donna, do you have some parting words for our listeners?
Well, you know, again, you know, we were talking about some famous people, and I remember one particular actress that I really always enjoyed watching. She started a couple of movies with Denzel Washington, Shirley Ralph.
Oh, yes, I know her mother very well. I knew her
mother very
well.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Yes. Well, it was just kind of interesting because I knew that she had, you know, something, you know, to, you know, I don't know if she was from Jamaica or, you know.
Yes, she was.
And so, but I remember I was looking at some things and I saw that she came up and that, you know, yes, she does have Jamaican roots. But what was really interesting was that she, you know, actually, you know, started Jamaican Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the founder of it. So I was saying to myself, wow, can you imagine that? You know, because she's not, you know, that old. I mean, were it not for her, you know, I guess maybe somebody would have, but it was just something to see that, you know, here was one of my favorite actresses, and not only that, but, you know, that she, you know, founded the, you know, Jamaican Film, I mean, Jamaican Film Festival, founder of the Jamaican Film Festival, I meant. And, and I just thought that that was just really neat, and that, but that she was a part of the Jamaican Hall of Fame, that she was acknowledged there for a lot of the work that she's done.
Right. Well, actually, her mother had a very unique business. She had a factory that produced the embroidered, in the old days, we had a lot of what we call cutwork embroidered garments.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she made beautiful cruise wear and jackets and very elegant clothes. And in the 70s, some of our listeners perhaps can relate to this. Jamaicans had a difficult time getting their money, if they had any you know, investments or money in Jamaica, getting their money out of Jamaica at the time. And I remember I was one of those, and I would purchase these beautiful garments from her mother's factory. And I would put on fashion shows in Florida for the Hot Association and blah, blah, blah. And they were so gorgeous. I don't know if the factory is still operating, but she just made some wonderful and crocheted, hand-crocheted garments. I see 718-798 would like to say hello, so I'm going to open up the mic now. And good evening. Welcome to the backyard. Who am I speaking to and where are you calling from?
Good evening, Ms. Marshall and your guests. Tonight, I'm just a listener. I don't have much to say tonight. I have to do some research, but I just want to let you know that I've been listening from the beginning.
Oh,
and
thank
as usual,
you.
The topics were very interesting, and I listened in last week also. This is Sharon's mom.
Oh, hi there. Welcome.
Thank you. So just want to let you know that I'm still listening.
Oh, great. Well, thank you so much for listening. And, you know, I'm just in love with your daughter.
Yes, that I know. We can share.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, thank you for being on our show. And I hope that one day I can have you as a guest.
Because I'm sure
you have some stories.
Yes, yes. I'll have to do some research and then I'll come with all my facts.
Okay.
And as Donna just mentioned, Cheryl Leland, that is, as a film star,
mm-hmm.
there was also Madge Sinclair.
Yes, Madge Sinclair. Yes,
yes.
I was about to say that. Yes.
Yes.
And she's even before.
Before, yes.
Yes, she was
yes.
earlier. Donna, did you know that?
No.
Madge Sinclair was a Jamaican, too.
Yes.
And we have quite a few Jamaican models. And,
yes.
And models of Jamaican parents.
Parents, yes.
Uh-huh, a lot. You know, we have really, in terms of Caribbean countries, I think Jamaicans have the most people that have really been, in a positive way, involved in the arts and different things, even in the sciences. You know, we have a couple of Nobel Prize winners
also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that go back. So I think that it's safe to say that historically we have always had this I would say quest for knowledge, and we have not really been afraid of challenges and breaking new grounds. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, very much so.
And I think it's just sort of almost inborn in us. And I really hope that the generation coming up, you know, whether they're in Jamaica or of Jamaicans, any part of the world, will use some of this information to help them if they're not on the right track, you know, think about getting on the right track. And if they are on the right track, stay there.
Yes, continue.
And be strong and be proud. That would be my message to them. So I want to thank my listeners again for just being with us and to ask you to join us next week. We're going to have another hot topic about our history. And I want to take this opportunity to thank Dr. Joy Lumsden for bringing some of this, you know, to us. And I am going to be doing my best to, you know, bring it to as much people as I possibly can. And I don't know if she's listening, but I'm sure that the rest of the people who are enjoying this information, finding out about this information, will also be quite grateful to her.
That we are.
Yes, and I am hoping that one day she'll be a guest on the show because she does reside in Jamaica. And I am planning to take a quick trip out there next month, and hopefully I'll be able to find some other Jamaicans. There are some Jamaicans that are doing different things about history, and there is one, you know, perhaps our History Month will continue for a little while longer than the 4 weeks, because I have so much information that I want to share, that I've uncovered, you know, that I really want to share about our past that is so positive. I know that in these times when there's so much negative things going on, you know, in our economy, in all over the world, in just all the bad things that are happening, and especially in Jamaica, I just want us to have some things to hold on to that are positive and can give us hope that, you know, things will just keep getting better and better.
Yes.
So, Donna, do you want to say goodnight?
Well, yes, just want to just say goodnight to everyone again. Make sure that you visit. I know one of the listeners said that she wasn't aware of some of the people that we were mentioning. And of course, I'm being educated myself, but it's always nice to really get a full view and all of some of the phenomenal people that are Jamaicans that have come here and have made a difference here in the United States and as well as in their country. And the best way to do that is to go to our backyardlabrish.com and look and see who the Hall of Fame, Jamaican or Jamaican or Jabrit or whatever, you know, whichever person is going to be put on there for the month is, and learn a little bit of information about them. The best way that, you know, we become educated is, of course, if we, you know, go, we look, we find, we read, and then we, you know, can take that information in, and it just takes us to a whole nother level in our understanding of a lot of things. You know, just like I was saying with the mayor, you know, the governor of New York, I was not aware that, you know, he was, you know, had Jamaican parents, and it was really something to really read and find more information about him and about his family and what their commitment was to him to make sure that he had a just a standard education versus a special ed education and how important education is for us, and it just, you know, it lays out the foundation of just how important it is. And, you know, one person that you might know of that you, I don't know if you knew about, but here we have Mr. Vin Martin, who also was a graduate of Howard University,
mm-hmm.
so for his undergraduate degree. So I thought that was pretty interesting. He's here in the Atlanta market. But again, everybody, go and go to thebackyardlabberish.com. Leave your footprint. You know, give us a profile. Look around, and of course, give us some information and suggestions on how best we can, you know, make it better for you. And leave us maybe a saying that we don't know about, or maybe people have forgotten about. Again, I know that a lot of particularly older Jamaicans maybe didn't speak in Patois, but the thing about it is they were sneaky speakers. I know they were, because I know I can hear it sometimes when Miss Margaret's talking. She and so
I'm like, Taryn, what I don't want you to know what I'm saying.
Oh,
I speak
my
in Patois.
And so, you know,
dear.
So you can leave us a saying or leave us some information that we can learn about and we can share with others. So back to you, Miss Margaret.
Yes, well, you know, back to what you were saying about our sayings. When I look back now at some of the things that the older, some of the sayings that the older people had, they were really very deep and very spiritual, I think. When you're growing up, I mean, you just hear them, you know, and you repeat them, and you know what they're meaning, what they mean. But as you get older, more mature, then you see the depth of what they were actually saying. I'm sure that you have the same thing in your culture also, Donna.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And our children don't really know. I know that when I was busy raising my family, I don't remember saying, they might remember me saying things to them that my mother would say to me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
that
yeah.
that were important important part of me being who I am. So it's interesting. But on the website, we are talking about sayings we used to have in the old days and what they meant to us, because different things means different things to different people. You know, mm-hmm. how you your perception of the statement. But I remember many, many things that every now and then they pop in my mind,
mm-hmm.
and I'm now realizing how deep they really were,
mm-hmm.
And didn't really think of it as such at that time as I was growing up. But it just shows you what getting old does for you. So again, thank you to all my listeners. It was fun. We're always having fun here in the backyard. And we invite you to just take some time off. For some of you who do not, you know, you might be busy doing something, if you have a speaker phone, you can always just put the phone on speaker. And like I do, I move around with a phone with me sometimes if I'm talking to someone, and I'm multitasking, as we all do nowadays, whether we're working or not. It just becomes a habit. You're doing, you know, a couple of things at the same time.
99.
So you can put the phone on speaker and move it to the kitchen while you do something, because you will not be disturbing the show as long as I do not have the mic open. And so you can always be listening is my point. And if you are not near to a phone and you might be working on your computer, if you're on our mailing list, and get a promo from us about the show, if you click on the link that says blogtalkradio.com/backyardlabberish, you can be working on your computer and listening to the show. So that's how cool all of this technology is. So if you think you do not have time, or any of your friends that you want to introduce to the show do not have time to listen to the show in its entirety, you can actually tell them that they can be listening to it while they work on their computers or work in their computer room while they have a speaker. So, you know, there's no excuse for not being in the backyard with us. If you really enjoy the Jamaican culture, enjoy pretending you're in the backyard with that warm sea breeze, we call it the trade winds, It's really the trade winds, but we call it sea breeze. Can anybody relate to that?
Yes,
with the sea breeze blowing over us. Yes, what did you call it?
Sea breeze.
Right, but it's actually the trade winds that is the right name.
Right name, yes.
And for our listeners who have never been on the island, because we're an island surrounded by the Caribbean Sea, number one, we do not have a lot of air pollution. And if it even, you know, we have a lot of cars now, it gets blown away by the trade winds that come almost every evening. There is the trade winds come across the island. So for the parts of the island, like in Mandeville and those places, it actually gets quite cool in the evenings. So, you know, we can just pretend we're in the backyard listening to some classic reggae, where we can just chill, which means stay warm, and enjoy the fresh smell of our flowers. We have a flowering plant that only comes out at night. I can't remember the name of it, and it has this sweet jasmine type of fragrance. And a lot of people would have it in their backyards or in their front yards. You know, we would sit on the front veranda sometimes. But it just brings back old memories. Yeah, so we invite you to join us in the backyard every Wednesday at 8 o'clock while we labrish. So I want to say goodnight to all our listeners and thank you for joining us. And join us next week because we'll have some other exciting information about Jamaica's history. So goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everyone.
Goodnight. Goodnight, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.